Hello, and welcome to the Europe at War podcast. Episode 2.7, The Aftermath. We left off last week with the fighting in Bautzen and in the rest of Saxony coming to a close. And we looked at how once the battle had ended, the lines in Saxony stabilized and then stagnated, as both the Germans and their Polish-Soviet opponents transferred their attention and forces to other theatres, such as Czechoslovakia. And once those battles had been fought, a bitterly won peace finally took hold across all of Europe on the 8th of May. After Germany surrendered and the war was over, Polish troops finally entered Bautzen and occupied the city. This probably caused the people of Bautzen to look around at each other and ask themselves, what was it all for? So now the fighting is over, we have to try and take stock of everything that happened in Bautzen and Saxony in April 1945, and ultimately try to determine who, if anyone, can claim victory. From a pure numbers sense, the scale of the fighting was remarkably high, given the fact that from the outset, the battles in Saxony had been designated as a secondary front. Sure, the number of troops and civilians who died in Berlin or even just in Brandenburg were higher, but the casualties of the fighting in Saxony show that this was no minor engagement. In total, it's estimated that at least 15,000 soldiers from all sides died in the Battle of Bautzen and in the fighting elsewhere in Saxony. On the German side, 4th Panzer Army suffered at least 6,500 casualties, including wounded, dead, or missing. Now, obviously, a large proportion of those casualties fell in the initial Polish and Soviet bombardments along the River Nyssa in the first days of the fighting. But the battle in Bautzen itself also claimed a great number of German soldiers, with an estimated 1,200 men from the city garrison dying in the defence alone. For the Soviets, their war cemetery in Bautzen houses over 3,000 graves from soldiers who died in the fighting in and around Bautzen. But this number only tells part of the story. For instance, we know that the Soviet 7th Guards Mechanized Corps lost at least 3,500 men. And the almost complete annihilation of units such as the 294th Rifle Division at Weissenberg was estimated to have cost the lives of at least another 3,000 men. But by far the biggest losses were inflicted on the Poles. According to official figures, the Polish 2nd Army suffered close to 18,000 casualties in the fighting around Bautzen and in Saxony, which consisted of 5,000 deaths, 10,000 wounded, and 2,800 missing. In terms of men, these casualties amounted to almost a quarter of the entire Polish 2nd Army, whilst at the same time they also lost 57% of their tanks and armoured vehicles. The casualties suffered by the Polish 2nd Army in less than 2 weeks of fighting in Saxony represented 27% of the losses for the entire Polish People's Army between October 1943 and May 1945. A time span of over 18 months. And some historians claim that the true number of Polish casualties in Saxony might actually be closer to 25,000. In any case, the campaign in Saxony proved to be without doubt one of the costliest engagements for Polish forces in the entire war. Eclipsed only by the initial German invasion of Poland in 1939, and the Warsaw Uprising in 1944. As a result, the Battle of Bautzen features prominently in the Polish historiography of the Second World War, and the battle is still a key topic of interest for Polish military historians today. In recognition of the devastating toll inflicted on the Polish forces in Saxony, a huge memorial was built in the town of Krostwitz, and on the memorial, a plaque honours the 18,232 Polish soldiers of the 2nd Polish Army who fell went missing, or were wounded during the Battle of Bautzen in April 1945. The choice of Krostwitz as the location for this memorial is no accident, as the memorial stands close to the site of the merciless German ambush of the doomed Polish 9th Infantry Division. But aside from the military losses, the civilian impact had also been tragic, with at least 350 German civilians dying as a result of the fighting in Bautzen alone. Further research in recent years has since claimed that more than 700 civilians died in total throughout Saxony. Of course, we'll never really know the true number of people who died in the fighting, as once the guns had fallen silent and the cleanup began, many of the dead were simply buried in unmarked graves or even mass graves. In the Taucher Friedhof in Bautzen, for example, over 1,700 war graves of people from all nations, soldiers and civilians, can be found. Whilst in the Michaelis Friedhof, the remains of the German POWs killed in the barn in the Niederkaine massacre were buried in one mass grave, upon which a simple cross was placed. Bautzen itself had also suffered terribly from the fighting, and the main areas of the city which had been savagely fought over by the German and Soviet troops were almost unrecognisable, particularly the Kornmarkt, Schützenplatz, and the Hauptmarkt. In total, at least 35% of the houses in Bautzen were damaged in some way, with 10% of the city's houses completely destroyed. 35 public buildings had also been completely annihilated in the fighting, with a further 41 heavily damaged, including most of Bautzen's factories and industry. In some cases, entire districts, such as the Zeidau district to the north of the city, had been set on fire. Whilst historic buildings and towers, not least the Ortenberg Castle itself, had also been scarred by the fighting. All of Bautzen's 17 bridges had either been completely destroyed or were heavily damaged. The Kronprinzbrücke, for example, lay in ruins, and it wasn't rebuilt until 1949, whereupon it was renamed the Friedensbrücke, or Peace Bridge. Today, Bautzen is a gorgeous city, and the historic centre has been lovingly restored to its pre-war glory. Look around, and you wouldn't even know a battle had taken place here. Only a handful of bullet holes are left, easily missed by the tourists and locals who pass by. But of course, beyond the numbers and the statistics, there is a human story to be told for this damage as well. As the civilians who escaped Bautzen during the fighting came back to the city after the battle, not knowing if they even had a home to go back to. Fritz Perkno, who was a local salesman living in Schliebenstrasse, recalled the moment he and his family returned to Bautzen to see whether their house had survived. "We came along Schliebenstrasse, full of fear as to what had become of our house. But lo and behold, it looked like it was completely intact. We saw how the houses opposite had burned down. When we came round the back of the house, however, we realised that our house had also been badly damaged. One shell had gone into the pantry and torn everything open. Another had gone into the attic and torn the roof open. Another had caused a large hole in the roof on the north side. And a fourth shell had caused a hole in the northeast side, as well as a lot of minor damage. Plus, almost all of the window panes on the house were broken. Everything inside the house was still in order, except for the dust and dirt caused by the impact of the shelling. And amazingly, some of the 8 young rabbits were still running around in the garden." So that's the analysis of the battle done in terms of raw numbers. But can those objective, cold, hard numbers help us to understand the true legacy of the fighting? And can they help us determine the outcome of the battle and definitively answer once and for all whether it counts as a German victory? After all, in terms of military dead, the Polish and Soviet forces suffered the greater losses during the fighting, so the Germans won, right? Well, if only it were so simple. In order to assess the overall outcome of the battle, we have to consider two important questions. Firstly, what were the stated objectives of both sides, and were they met? And secondly, did the fighting produce any unintended outcomes which need to be considered? To answer the first question, the prime objectives of Operation Lausitz, the Polish-Soviet campaign in Saxony, was to A. secure the southern flank of the 1st Ukrainian Front's assault on Berlin, and B. capture Dresden. Here we can say with some confidence that whilst the Polish-Soviet forces made an absolute cock-up of their campaign in Saxony, they did eventually prevent Army Group Center from threatening the overall Soviet assault on Berlin, thanks to the urgent injection of reinforcements from Konev's forces elsewhere. But the objective of capturing Dresden? Well, this was an utter failure, and both Dresden and Bautzen would stay in German hands until the end of the war. For the Germans, their objectives evolved throughout the fighting, as initially they had intended to repel the Polish-Soviet forces along the River Nysa. This, of course, was a complete failure. Then, when the Soviet and Polish forces started overstretching their lines in Saxony, the Germans developed a new objective: to launch a counterattack through those lines and strike north to relieve Berlin. This new objective was only partially achieved. Yes, Bautzen was successfully relieved, and this impressive feat delivered a great propaganda victory. But the overall German counterattack in Saxony failed to penetrate even the southern areas of Brandenburg, and it certainly came nowhere close to threatening the Soviet assault on Berlin. In terms of any unintended consequences, however, it would be fair to judge the German counterattack as a success, in that it did enable German civilians and soldiers in Saxony to escape west and surrender to the Americans rather than face the wrath of the Red Army. But like I said, the German counterattack in Saxony was launched primarily for military and political reasons, namely to repel the Polish-Soviet advance and lift the siege on Berlin. This is nothing like the story of General Wenck's 12th Army, who linked up with the German 9th Army in Brandenburg in order to save as many soldiers and civilians as possible from the Halber Pocket. In my view, the Battle of Bautzen and the campaign in Saxony overall can be seen as a German victory, albeit a very limited and tactical one. The German counterattack did prevent the capture of Bautzen and Dresden by the Red Army, and it led to most of Saxony remaining in German hands, at least until the end of the war, roughly 2 weeks later. Plus, the battle was a fine example of how, if the conditions were right and the quality of opposition poor, the Wehrmacht could still produce a deadly combination of ground, air, and armoured forces to pull off stunning localised victories on the battlefield. However, that's where the plaudits end, because the German victory in Saxony did nothing to change the overall strategic picture for the Germans, and ultimately, it did nothing to change the outcome of the war. Berlin still fell, Germany still surrendered, and even Bautzen and Dresden were eventually occupied by Red Army forces. It just took 2 weeks longer for that to happen. Unsurprisingly, after the war, the Soviet and East German authorities were quick to label the campaign in Saxony, and the Battle of Bautzen in particular, as nothing more than an inconvenient setback, which did nothing to threaten the overall victory of communism over Nazi Germany. The GDR authorities lamented the German victory in Bautzen as an unnecessary extension of the conflict, and they memorialised the sacrifice which the Soviet forces had made during the fighting. For instance, the Corn Market, the central square in the city which had seen some of the most intense fighting during the battle, was renamed Platz der Roten Armee during the GDR years in honour of the Red Army. After the reunification of Germany, it was renamed back to Corn Market. Ironically, the firm grip the communist GDR authorities had on Bautzen after the war was perhaps best shown by the fact that the city hosted one of the GDR's most well-known Stasi prisons, nicknamed Das Gelbe Elend, or Yellow Misery, after the colours of the prison walls. The Soviets also conveniently glossed over the many mistakes their forces had committed during the campaign, and the failings of General Shvyachevsky in particular were covered up. Without doubt, the poor leadership shown by the general and the inexperience of the troops serving under him were huge factors which led to the high losses suffered by the Polish Second Army. His obsession with capturing Dresden led to him splitting his forces whilst failing to secure his southern flank. And it was this dangerous miscalculation which caused huge gaps to unnecessarily appear in the Polish lines, whilst also leaving the Soviet vanguard forces around Bautzen isolated from rear guard support. Without these mistakes, the Germans wouldn't have enjoyed the successes they did in their counterattack. The Soviet High Command knew that General Shvyachevsky was at least partly to blame for the calamitous campaign in Saxony, and during the fighting, Shvyachevsky had been temporarily replaced because of this. After the war, however, General Shvyachevsky's loyalty to Stalin was rewarded, as the NKVD hushed up his mistakes, and he was quickly reinstated back into his position as head of the Polish Second Army. The post-war communist dictatorship of Poland also decided to hail Shvyachevsky as a hero, despite the fact that his actions had gotten so many Polish troops killed. They cultivated an image of him as a red freedom fighter, in contrast to the supposedly bourgeois Polish generals who had fought with the Western Allies during the war. In 1946, Shvyachevsky was even made Deputy Defence Minister of Poland, where he orchestrated a campaign of terror against the anti-communist underground. His name subsequently appeared on many death certificates. In March 1947, when touring Polish troops who were engaged in fighting with Ukrainian resistance fighters in the Carpathian Mountains near the Ukrainian border, Shvyachevsky was killed by insurgents in an ambush whilst travelling in a car without an escort. The new regime now had a martyr, and they used him well. His death was used as justification for the forced expulsion of over 150,000 Ukrainians from southeast Poland into the new western territories taken from Germany. Factories and streets were soon named after him, and in the 1970s, his face appeared on the 50 zloty note. With the fall of communism, Shvyachevsky's legacy began to be viewed more critically by Polish historians. Nevertheless, he still enjoyed a considerable degree of popularity into the 21st century, regularly ranking highly on lists of most famous Poles. In preparing this series on the Battle of Bautzen, I have used a variety of books and online journals, such as the German language magazine Militärgeschichte, featuring the writings of Stefan Maximilian Brenner. I also want to give a special mention to the local Bautzen historian, Eberhard Berndt, whose books on the battle proved invaluable. His German language books, Auf ein letztes Wort, Bautzen im April 1945, and Die Kämpfe Weißenberg und Bautzen im April 1945, were fantastic resources, and it's from these books that I found the quotes and diary entries used in this series. There is not much in English on the battle, but the book Bautzen 1945, The Last Victory of the Third Reich by Eduardo Gil Martinez gives a great overview to the fighting in Bautzen and Saxony. Before we end our series on the Battle of Bautzen, I wanted to share with you a story which shows how there still remains a struggle today as to how the area should commemorate the legacy of the fighting. In the village of Niederkaina, on the outskirts of Bautzen, a memorial plaque has been placed on the site of the former barn where almost 200 German POWs were killed in the Niederkaina massacre. Each year, on the anniversary of those killings, local dignitaries attend the memorial and pay their respects to the dead. In April 2018, however, the memorial plaque was vandalized, with police suspecting this to be the work of far-left extremists objecting to the idea that German soldiers should be memorialized at all. A new plaque was installed 6 months later. Whether that remains unvandalized shall be seen. So despite the Battle of Bautzen ending 80 years ago, in some ways, the legacy of the battle is still being fought over today. I'm David Sumner, and that was the Battle of Bautzen. Thank you for listening.